Okay, today we plan to go through Hebrews chapter 5, verses 1 through 10. Jesus, our high priest forever. Forever. Now, the concept of forever is hard to comprehend. God the Father and God the Son, they have existed forever. They had no beginning, and they will exist forever. Each one of us, though we had a beginning, we too will exist forever. Believers will be with the Lord. Unbelievers will be separated from the Lord. And that's a sad thing, very sad thing. It should concern us that there are people who need to know Jesus, a lot of people who need to know Jesus. Separation from God is no fun. Hell is not a good place. The lake of fire is not a good place. So in today's passage, we see that Jesus is our high priest forever, never ending. A high priest represents people to God and God to people. A high priest brings reconciliation between a holy God and sinful humanity, sinful people. Jesus is our high priest forever. Now, background for this passage, we've been looking at the superiority of Christ here in the book of Hebrews. He is superior to the mediators of the old covenant, the Jewish law. Namely, Moses and angels. They teamed up and they were the mediators. And Jesus, however, he ushered in a new covenant. And the new covenant, the new agreement, the new deal we have is based on grace. It's unmerited. It's based on Jesus' perfect performance on our behalf. It's not based on us being good enough. So it gives us rest from our striving. We need not strive to try to earn God's favor. We who believe in Christ have God's favor. The favor that was bestowed upon Jesus is applied to each one of us who believe in Jesus Christ. And so we have that kind of favor, the indwelling Holy Spirit. We're given the opportunity to be filled with the Holy Spirit, ongoing filling. And we do exploits for the Lord. Not to try to earn his favor, but because we have his favor already. So in addition, Jesus is superior to the high priests. He is the ultimate high priest. And because of what he did for us on the cross, offering himself as payment, full payment, we can approach God anytime with boldness. He paid for our sins, all of our sins, our past sins and our present sins and our future sins. Every single sin he paid for. Why do we still confess our sins? Well, because it restores fellowship, because sin separates the intimacy that we have with the Lord. And so we still ask for forgiveness. And if we ask for forgiveness, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So there's an ongoing forgiveness and ongoing cleansing that takes place. But officially, they've been paid for. All of our sins have been paid for. In this passage, we'll look at two things. We'll look at the high priest, that's verses 1 to 4. And then we'll look at Jesus, the ultimate high priest, our forever high priest, our high priest who will never be taken out of that role, verses 5 through 10. So please stand. We're going to pray. We'll read through the entire passage, 10 verses. Father, I thank you for this time we're about to have in your word. And I pray that you would speak to us with clarity. And Lord, I pray that you'd bring encouragement, you'd bring correction, that you'd increase our faith. Lord, that you'd work in our hearts in a bunch of ways, a myriad of ways. And I pray, Father, that you'd be glorified as we go through this passage. Give us wonderful understanding. Your Holy Spirit is the one who gives us understanding. So, Spirit, please speak to us, and we ready ourselves, we're anticipating, and we're open to what you have to say. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, so Hebrews chapter 5, verses 1 through 10. For every high priest taken from among men is appointed for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray, since he himself is also subject to weakness. Because of this, he is required, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer sacrifices for sins. And no man takes this honor to himself, but he who was called by God, just as Aaron was. So also Christ did not glorify himself to become high priest, but it was he who said to him, "You are my son, today I have begotten you." And he, God, also says in another place, "You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek," who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death and was heard because of his godly fear, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him, called by God as high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Please be seated. The author of Hebrews, very intense, very intense. So let's begin by looking at the high priest. So specifically at the high priest, insight number one, we'll look at four insights as far as we'll focus on that. Insight number one, the high priest's purpose. His purpose, verse one, "For every high priest taken from among men is appointed for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins." So the purpose of the high priest is to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins, to address sins, to reconcile sinful people to a holy God. The gifts, the sacrifices are needed to cover sin. They're needed to atone for or cover our sin. Animals are sacrificed in the context of the Jewish temple. Animals were sacrificed in the place of sinful humanity as a substitute. Their blood was shed as a substitute for the sins of the people. Jesus is the Lamb of God, the ultimate animal sacrifice. For anyone who says, "Man, I love animals," why did the Judeo-Christian heritage or lineage or history, why did that involve animal sacrifice as well? It was to cover up our sins. But Jesus should be your best friend because he put an end to animal sacrifices. He was the ultimate sacrifice on our behalf. Note that every high priest is taken from among men, in other words, is human, and is appointed to represent people to God and God to people. That's why Jesus had to take on humanity to serve as our high priest, because a high priest was taken from among men. So the high priest's purpose is to offer gifts, to offer sacrifices, to address sins. Now for the heart that the high priest is to cultivate, and that's insight number two. Insight number two, the high priest's compassion. Verse two, "He can have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray, since he himself is also subject to weakness." So the high priest is to have compassion on the people, is to deal gently with the people. The people are often ignorant. They're often straying, not even realizing what they're doing, like sheep who've lost their way. And we own sheep, and they can lose their way. Sometimes it's very willful. Other times they don't have a clue on what they're doing. They just want some grass, they want something to eat, and they think something's good over here and over there, and they could find themselves in a pickle. And the compassion of the high priest, it's to stem from the fact that he can relate. He too is subject to weakness. He gets tempted as well. So the Jewish high priest was not a perfect individual. Last week we looked at the fact that Jesus was tempted in all ways and yet was without sin. No sin in Jesus at all. No sinful thoughts, no sinful words, no sinful actions. He was sinless. So Jesus can relate to us because he was tempted in every way. Though he was without sin, he was tempted, and he's experienced every type of temptation, every single type of temptation. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Those were the three major groupings of temptation. Those were the three major temptations that took place in the wilderness as far as Satan tempting Jesus in the wilderness. And yet he was without sin, so he understands what we're going through. He can also give us grace to withstand, to resist sin. He understands it, and he empowers us to be able to say no. Do we always walk in that? No, we stumble at times. We get fooled at times. But a believer, a genuine believer, gets back up again and says, Father, I blew it. I confess my sins before you. I take responsibility for those things. Cleanse me. And Lord, help me to not do it again. I get up again by your grace. So we come to him in our time of need. We're not alone. Jesus can relate to us, and we can relate to him. So that's insight number two, the high priest's compassion. Insight number three, the high priest's imperfection. Imperfection, verse 3. Because of this, he is required, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer sacrifices for sins. So since the Old Testament high priest is subject to weakness and sins at times, that person needs to offer sacrifices, not only for the people, but for himself as well, because he himself is not sinless. When the high priest would enter the Holy of Holies on Yom Kippur, that's the Jewish High Holy Day, the Day of Atonement, the Day of Covering. He needs to secure atonement or covering for his own sins and then for the sins of the people he's representing. The high priest was imperfect. Jesus, on the other hand, was perfect and was sinless. So he didn't have to offer any offerings, any sacrifices for his own sin because he had none. Very important. Because that's the basics of why he could pay for our sins, since he didn't have to pay for his own sins. Insight number three was the high priest's imperfection. Insight number four, the high priest's appointment. Verse 4, and no man takes this honor to himself, but he who is called by God, just as Aaron was. So no person grabs the office of high priest. It's an honor and a responsibility to serve in this way, as a high priest, as far as a Jewish high priest. And it's something that God calls a person to. So there's no need for politicking. There's no need for baby kissing. There's no need for manipulation. There's no need for the spouse of the high priest to say, who do you think should be the next high priest? And start working the angles. That kind of thing happens in a lot of, like, especially denominational settings, unfortunately, where there's people politicking for positions. And I am so glad in this setting that there's not a lot of politics, shall we say, internal politics. I'm not talking about Republicans and Democrats. I'm talking about internal politics, politicking. Aaron was the first high priest, and he was appointed by God. The high priest is appointed by God. It's as simple as that. So Aaron's that example. Now, there's a principle that applies to any ministry-minded person, as far as a New Testament ministry-minded person. And the principle is this: ministries and ministry responsibilities are not to be taken. They're not to be grabbed. God is the one who appoints. If we grab a ministry position, then we need to keep grabbing it. We need to keep holding it in order to keep it and protect it and make sure no one takes it, because it can be a subtle idol in our lives. It's much better to follow God's lead. Let him do it in his time. Let God do it. Let's not get in the way. Let's rely on him also to sustain any ministry positions that God has opened up for us. He is the originator. He's the sustainer as well. And so he gives us grace. And let's be open to his continued leading. He opens doors. He closes doors. Sometimes a ministry responsibility, it's for a season. Maybe it's something better for us, but we're clinging to that which we had. And it's like, let's be wide open to whatever God has for us, whether it's ministry responsibilities or other responsibilities in life. It's like, Lord, help me to be diligent and do everything for your glory, and yet help me to hold the things of this world loosely, because I want to grab a hold of you, Lord, tightly. That's what I want to do. Insight number four, then, is the high priest's appointment. So we looked at the high priest, at his purpose, his compassion, his imperfection, and at his appointment. So now let's look at Jesus, the ultimate high priest. And there's a lot of overlap between these sort of insights Insight number one regarding Jesus. Jesus' eternal appointment. His eternal appointment. Verses 5 and 6. So also Christ did not glorify himself to become high priest, but it was he who said to him, in other words, it was God who said to Jesus, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. And he also says in another place, God also says in another place, you are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. So Christ did not glorify himself by making himself the high priest, the ultimate high priest. Instead, God the Father appointed him. Jesus is our example. He's our forerunner in everything we put our hand to. So God the Father appointed him. In verse 5, you're my son, today I have begotten you. Verse 6, you are a priest forever. So regarding sonship, Jesus is begotten. He's God's only begotten son. That means one of a kind. At his birth, he took on humanity so that he could represent people as the ultimate high priest. Regarding Jesus being appointed priest forever, so Jesus, appointed priest forever. You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. God chose Jesus to serve as our forever high priest. His priesthood never ends. His ministry never ends. It's of the order of Melchizedek, that mysterious priest king who in the days of Abraham, there was no known beginning for this guy and no known end for this interesting individual. Very much like Jesus, as far as he had a heritage, a lineage, and yet he is mysteriously popped into history. And he entered in a very unique way as far as the virgin birth, and he left in a very unique way as far as his death and his resurrection and his ascension. So Jesus is our Melchizedek, and in fact, Melchizedek may very well have been a Christophany, an appearance of Christ well before, thousands of years before the baby in the manger, a couple thousand. So as our eternal high priest, Jesus represents us to God and represents God to us, and he continues to do so. He continues to do so through all of eternity. He's our ultimate, eternal, forever high priest. So his eternal appointment. Insight number two, Jesus' obedient suffering. His obedient suffering. Verses 7 and 8, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and was heard because of his godly fear, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. So this describes Jesus' suffering. We see his prayers, we see his supplications, reminding us of the Garden of Gethsemane, when he was crying out to the Lord. And the cross, he was crying out to the Lord on the cross. Supplications in this context means requests for peace. It's sort of like an olive branch, requests for peace. Jesus spearheaded peace between a holy God and sinful humanity, the ultimate olive branch. And that was Jesus' huge prayer at the very end of his life. So we see his vehement cries and tears to God to save him. And God was able to save Jesus from death by resurrecting him. So God answered Jesus' prayer. He allowed him to experience physical death, but then he raised him from the dead. No other religious leader can claim that. If you could find the tomb of any other religious leader, it's going to have bones in it. And yet Jesus himself, if you could find his tomb for sure, there's questions on tomb location, but if you can find that tomb for sure, empty, totally empty, because he kicked the stone out of the way and he rose again. Imagine how what he went through during that time. It's like, yes. He had already said, it is finished. And now it's like, okay, time to break out of this place. I've conquered death. And now I'm going to really have fun with my disciples. I'm going to start appearing to them. I'm going to blow them away. So who knows what he was thinking at that time. But what a great thing as far as the joy that was beset before him. So God heard Jesus as far as his prayers. because of Jesus' godly fear, according to verse 7. He was heard because of his godly fear. That means reverence. That means respect for God. There's something awesome about having a healthy fear of the Lord, a reverence, an awareness of God's holy presence, a desire to please him, knowledge that we're going to come before him and give an account of our lives. And so we live with that sense of, Lord, I'm accountable to you, and I want everything in my life to count. And it should bring out in us a real desire to make every day count for Christ, having a godly fear. And God raised Jesus from the dead. Thus, Jesus could serve as our eternal high priest. So his prayers were answered. As per verse 8, even though Jesus was a son, he learned obedience by the things he suffered. I mean, take a look at that. Verse 8 again. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. The term learned means to learn from experience. He experientially learned. What did he learn? What did he experience? Well, obedience, submission to God. That's basically what that boils down to. Well, what did God use to bring this about? None other than suffering. That's what God used to bring about the experience of proving his obedience, his submission to God. Jesus learned obedience through suffering. So if we think we're going to have an easy life in every way, we've been smoking the wacky weed. It's just not true. It's just not true. That's often how we learn obedience, through suffering, through hardship. It's easy to profess faith when things are going great. It's not easy to profess faith when going through the ringer, when really going through a tough time. And if you're going through a heavy-duty ringer, God may have very good plans for you, because to whom much is given, much is required. And the grace you have to get through a time of suffering, that's something that God may want to tap in the future. In fact, he will want to tap. He develops character in us as we go through tough times and respond in a way that pleases him. So that's when people of faith cry out to God, when we're going through a tough time. That proves who's a real believer, as far as it proves our faith in the Lord. And that's when we experience true learning. We learn obedience. We learn true submission through suffering. So that's a huge way in which we learn. So Johnny Erickson Tada. How many people here have heard of Johnny Erickson Tada? Hand. Okay. Johnny Erickson Tada, as a 17-year-old, suffered a devastating diving accident. It left her a quadriplegic, paralyzed in both arms and both legs. She asked God to heal her. I saw a film on her life, and she had asked God to heal her. And to date, she has not been healed. There's a little bit of mobility that came back to her arms, just a little bit. But she basically does not have movement. God always heals us, but sometimes it's on the other side of eternity. It's not always here and now. She purposed to make the best of her situation. Though she encountered depression and she encountered doubt, she was really wrestling with this as a 17-year-old, an 18, 19, you know, a teenager. You know, my whole life was before me, and what now? Well, God had some incredible plans for her. She took steps to cultivate gratefulness. She took steps to cultivate contentment. She resisted the temptation to grumble and complain. I heard her speak once, and she said, even this morning, I was going through a tough time. It's hard. It's hard to not complain because it's hard sometimes. So she resisted the temptation to grumble and complain, to feel sorry for herself, and or to get bitter. To get bitter because of other people who can do things they can't do, or to get bitter because of God who allowed this to happen in her life. Well, with brush in mouth, she began to paint. It was part of her OT, her occupational therapy. And so she started painting something. She ended up creating delightful paintings. incredible paintings which appeared on greeting cards. And like hundreds and thousands of greeting cards were created with her paintings on them. She was learning obedience through suffering. God was maturing her, making her more like Christ. God began to open up the door for her to share her story because people wanted to know who this person was. Over the years, she has spoken hundreds of times to tens of thousands of people. I was at a seminar in New Jersey, and there were probably anywhere from 600 to 1,000 people there at that seminar. And we were hearing her testimony. I was like, this was really motivating. It was really very encouraging. It gave us strength on the inside because, boy, if she can handle that, then the things that happened to me, it's like, I can handle them. I need to learn to not grumble and complain. I need to learn to cultivate contentment as well and to say, Lord, what do you want to do with me now? I can paint with my mouth. So who knows? We've got whatever capabilities we have. Let's use them for God's glory. So she's been used to bring God a ton of glory in her life. That's Johnny Erickson Tada. She's still with us. She's, I think, 73 years old now. And so she's been in this for a long time as far as reaching out and just sharing what God has done in her life. So insight number two was Jesus' obedient suffering. Insight number three, Jesus' perfection. His perfection. Verse 9, and having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. So through his suffering, Jesus was perfected. He was completed. It wasn't like he was imperfect, but it's perfected from a perspective of completed. He reached the end. As a result, he became the author of eternal salvation. Author means the cause of, or the originator of. Jesus became the cause of eternal salvation. He became the originator of eternal salvation. Jesus had to experience suffering. He had to experience death because sinful humanity was under the death penalty. In the courtroom of God, the wages, the price tag of sin, and each one of us have sin in us, but the price tag is death, separation from God. So Jesus suffered as a human in the place of humanity, experiencing death on our behalf to pay for our sin debt, and he paid it in full. Remember, he had no sin himself, so he is a high priest. He didn't have to offer anything for himself. So his offering, which was his own body, his own life, his blood, he gave it for us. He was able to pay for our sins. Our part is to obey him. It says in verse 9, to all who obey him. Our part is to obey him, to repent of our sins, to follow him wholeheartedly, to cultivate a close relationship with the one who died for us. He died for us, and he lives forever. The high priests were imperfect. They had their own sins to atone for. Jesus, however, was perfect. He was sinless. And he was perfected. He reached the end. But remember what he said. Remember as he died, what were the words he said? It is done or finished. So we've got a high priest who was finished the work of payment, the work of redemption on our behalf. He reached the end as far as this whole payment process. He reached the end. He was completed. And on a related note, by the way, we too need to reach the end to fight the good fight. I don't know how many years each one of us have. We don't know when Jesus is going to come back. But whatever we have, whether it's days, months, years, decades, whatever our situation is, let's live wholeheartedly for the Lord. Let's fight the good fight to the end of our lives. Now, never give up, never turn back, and never quit the faith. Never. It's one of the reasons why the author of Hebrews is writing this book. It's like, persevere. Persevere. Never give up. Multiple times he goes into that. So that's insight number three, Jesus' perfection. Now, Jesus has finished the work of redemption, but keep in mind, he's still ministering on our behalf. And that brings us to insight number four, Jesus' ongoing role. Verse 10, called by God as high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. So Jesus now serves as our high priest. He was called by God. He was established by God. He's our high priest. He represents us to God, and he represents God to us. His once-for-all sacrifice, his own body, his blood, given for us, it cleansed us, and it continues to cleanse us even today. And he intercedes for us constantly. He's constantly praying for us. He's interceding on behalf of weak humanity. Each one of us sometimes weak as far as, oh man, I'm just weak in so many ways. Strong in spirit and yet weak as far as different areas of life. And so he intercedes for us. And isn't it reassuring to ponder the fact that Jesus is praying for each one of us? I mean, think about that. He's praying for us. It's like when I hear of someone praying for me, it's like, that's encouraging, it's strengthening. When I hear of Jesus praying for me, it's like, whoa. It's like, yes, he's praying for me. I can do anything that God wants me to do, anything. And it's all by his strength. It's all by reliance upon him and grace that's given to us. So he's our high priest. Now, since this role is according to the order of Melchizedek, it will never end. Jesus will always be there. He's our eternal high priest. He offered himself as our eternal sacrifice, and he's our eternal intercessor. No matter what, he will never leave us nor forsake us. No matter what, he is our high priest forever. So personal application, have you received Jesus as your eternal high priest? Have you received him? Do you believe that his sacrifice on the cross was perfect? It was complete. It completed that payment that was needed, and that it covers your sin. For me, it was a huge step forward. In fact, that was the point of my assurance of salvation. I'd already believed that I think he died for everyone's sins. I think he's the savior of the world. But it took me a while to come to the point of, Lord, you're my savior. You died for my sins. It applies to my sins. And it's like, man, it covered my sin. Very personal. So, if you believe that, do you realize that he's praying for you at this time? You realize that he'll never leave you nor forsake you, no matter what you're going through. Maybe a very lonely chapter in time, and yet he'll never leave you nor forsake you. Are you doing your part to obey him wholeheartedly in every way? So just as Jesus was perfected, he was completed, he reached the end through suffering, are you suffering at this time? You going through the ringer at this time? Like Johnny Erickson taught, are you purposing to cultivate contentment? Are you purposing to do that? You're purposing to have whatever he's given you, whatever capabilities he's given you, submitted for his glory? Are you resisting the temptation to grumble and complain? Are you cooperating with God as he's working to perfect you, to complete you, to mature you? Are you following Christ's example, crying out to God as Jesus cried out to God? Are you walking in godly fear, in very godly fear, reverence, aiming to be like Christ? Godly fear, having a healthy fear of the Lord, being aware of his holiness, being aware of our accountability to him, and just being aware that he sees everything. And he is perfectly holy. And just as Jesus finished his work of redemption on the cross, are you persevering? Are you finishing strong? Each one of us, again, we don't, there was a cry of, yes, I'm finishing strong. And for anyone on Zoom, it was a baby who cried out, and I'm starting strong, and then I'm going to finish strong. So are you persevering? Are you finishing strong? Are you completing the things that God has given you to complete? Because he's given each one of us work to do. Are you completing those things for his glory? Let's pray. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for giving us your Son, the Lord Jesus, an eternal high priest, our eternal high priest. And Lord Jesus, thank you for being the perfect sacrifice, for offering yourself for us, and for your ongoing intercession on our behalf. You are awesome, and we're so thankful. Help us to get to know you better, to rely upon you. Lord, to cultivate a Christ-like attitude by the grace that you give us and your Spirit empowers us to be able to take steps to do. Lord, for anyone who is listening to this, who has yet to come to faith in Christ, may that person see the need for an eternal high priest, for their sins to be covered, and for a new life in Christ. May that person believe in you. May that person come to receive you. And may that person be changed by you, fundamentally changed. Thank you, Lord, for this time in your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.